Welcome to Implement This with Microsoft Business Solutions MVP Britta Rexted and co-host Matthew C. Anderson, where we have an insider's discussion around the things we consider when implementing Dynamics 365. We're sponsored by Kingswaysoft. Kingswaysoft is a leading integration solution provider offering software solutions that make data integration affordable and painlessly easy. Thousands of enterprise clients from over 70 countries and regions rely on Kingswaysoft to integrate data with various business systems in order to drive their business efficiency and fully leverage their information assets. Kingswaysoft is a leading provider of Microsoft Dynamics integration software, including Dynamics 365, CRM, AX, Nav, GP, SL, as well as many other applications such as Marketo, Dropbox, QuickBooks, and Salesforce. Whether you need one solution or several, Kingswaysoft works easily within the SSIS platform to make your integration processes as quick and easy as possible. Many of their clients have seen 3 to 10 times greater data integration performance after switching to the SSIS integration platform. And now, on with the show. I can never seem to remember quite how we start these episodes off, so I'll just start with a simple, hi Britta, how are you?
Good, how are you doing, Matt?
I am not doing too bad. I am just, whenever this microphone comes out and we're sitting in the room, I know it's time to talk about something hopefully fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, something that I would love to talk about is Excel. It's actually a little surprising we haven't talked about Excel yet, because that was how we initially became friends, both like secret Excel nerds.
Yeah.
And that was actually the original idea for a podcast, was actually an Excel podcast, not even CRM.
Right.
And then realized that there's just so much to talk about, we didn't want to pigeonhole ourselves. But something that I really like to pick your brain on is Excel templates, because I have hacked my way into Excel templates over the years by giving users something to copy and paste the results of an advanced find into, and then doing Excel magic to make it pretty and digestible for them. But I know it's so much easier now, and I've done Word templates, and to be honest, it was really stressful, and it made me get all nostalgic about mail merge, which is going away, and I'm a little bitter. And I was kind of a little bit overwhelmed by Word templates. It didn't make it all the way to Excel templates. I know you've played with that.
Yeah, well, so I obviously, as you mentioned, I have a big background in Excel, and maybe less of a background in Word, but even that part aside, Excel templates, way easier to be able to get into when compared to Word templates.
Even
coming out of the chute of how you initiate creating a template. Whereas with a Word template, you begin building it and you have to choose the relationships that you want to include, and you have to know the names of those relationships. There's maybe some trial and error that's going on there. Excel templates are going to be much more straightforward in getting started, because you start with a view.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's literally a view inside of Dynamics. You can use either a system view or a personal view as that starting point for it. You can also create a view at the time when you're creating the initial template that you're going to pull down, which first off, don't recommend doing that, but you certainly could kind of do that ad hoc. And one of the first things to consider is that a lot of the things that you can do with adding in data into a view, and maybe some of the refinement of getting all of the right information into a view, those things are going to translate really well into doing an Excel template, because that is the common starting point.
Nice. So it's actually a base skill set your average admin you'd expect, know how to make views and, you know, add fields to columns, that kind of thing. So where do you go from there?
So there are a few different things that you want to consider when you're getting started with these. So first and foremost, I mean, I want to think it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway, so I apologize if this is, you know, reductive, but before you start trying to jump into Excel, even though it's called an Excel template, really think through the problem that you're trying to solve with an Excel template. What questions are you going to be asking and trying to answer? How are you going to be presenting this data? And what is some of the other information, that ancillary data that you're going to want when you start adding in things like
slicers or different things that you want to plot against each other in a visualization of some sort, you want to make sure that as you're bringing that information into an Excel template, you need that in your view as the starting point. And I'd like to try to save people out there in podcast listening land as far as having to kind of reinvent the wheel each time they think of something else they want to include in an Excel template. Because once you build that Excel template, there's not an easy supported way to add in additional columns later. So the importance of the getting the right starting point for that view is a really important one. There are blogs out there and some things that I've seen in the community around being able to add them later.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful with those. You get into that territory where it's not necessarily documented on doing that, and if it's an undocumented feature, you can potentially run into problems. So, you know, when you're getting started, I really have to emphasize the importance of understanding that data set that you want to have.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last thing you want to do is be working on an Excel template in Excel, then realize, oh, there are these extra five columns, and then you're trying to go and redo some of the work and repurpose what you've done in another workbook with your kind of full data set that you're going to have.
So I think, though, I mean, most things like this, don't you want to start small? Because where I would have used this when I was an admin, when I was, you know, moving heaven and earth to make Excel consumable for people with data in it,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't so much for me. It was usually for a user. So it was for a salesperson that needs to tell a story with their data. It's for mm-hmm. a sales manager that needs something to walk into a meeting with. So don't think you're trying to tell the data story of your entire CRM and how all the nuances fit together.
Yep.
There's really something to be said, I think, for deciding who the persona is, of who it is you're going to use, and then answer a simple question first. I mean, don't think of the most complicated sales report that you have in your whole system and then try to write an Excel template for that. Start with something easy and consumable and kind of obvious.
Yeah, I think you're very much spot on with that. The only thing that I would add into that is, if you know your users, you know, that person who asks for reports, and starting simple with them is the right way to do it. But if you can think through a couple of things that are going to be the low-hanging fruit, you know they're going to come back with a couple of quote-unquote simple things
mm-hmm.
that you can include in your base view. It's not a bad idea to include some of those in there. But yeah, I mean, I think the keep it simple, stupid approach to this is going to end up being a very good one as you're building these out.
So you don't have to use it all right away, too, right? I mean, you could leave yourself kind of this trail of things you need, slicers you know you'll want later when people get a little more sophisticated with mm-hmm. it, things you know that they'll ask for. So I don't have to use everything day one. I can throw some columns in that view that I know I'll want later, right?
That's right. And a couple of things as far as setting a groundwork for how Excel templates work is, when you export that view, it comes into a downloadable Excel workbook. And that downloadable Excel workbook functions very largely like a regular Excel file. So while there is a sheet that's in there that has an Excel table with all of your columns from that view, as well as some additional metadata in columns A through D, like with most exports from Dynamics, that file allows you to be able to do things like add an additional sheet to it. So when you're creating something for a user, they may not even see all the data that sits behind the scenes in the finished product.
Okay.
One of the best practices that I've been talking about for over a year at this point is to add in an additional sheet where people are going to have those visualizations, or you can have multiple sheets for different visualizations you're going to give them. And from a user experience perspective, if you've worked with Excel before, people understand clicking through to different tabs to mm-hmm. see things. And when they see, especially someone at a management level, sees lots of the you know, individual details about every record that gets out there, it can feel like it's an eye chart. It can feel more confusing versus a kind of slick visualization that's on a nicely formatted page.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And then I assume we could hide sheets too.
Absolutely. You can hide sheets and so forth. That's, you know, absolutely one. And things like being able to add in formulas, mm-hmm. to be able to do calculations of fields that maybe don't exist inside of CRM, that's core functionality of using an Excel template. And to that degree, you can also do things like have a named cell or a named range inside of Excel. So if you want someone to be able to type in a certain threshold or set their own personal variable for some what-if type of analysis, you can define formulas in your data set and reference that, you know, kind of user-defined field. Mm-hmm. To be able to let them kind of play with the numbers. A lot of managers, when they want to, you know, kind of work their magic in figuring out what's going on, you know, based on their team's data, mm-hmm. that's a really common one that I've seen in being able to do that. I mean, I think as I hear myself kind of from the outside in, I think we can probably have a couple of episodes around Excel templates, maybe several episodes, mm-hmm. because I could get into a lot of detail, and I think we could both geek out quite a bit around details inside of Excel, and specifically as you're working with dynamics data inside of Excel,
mm-hmm.
Like what's some of the cool stuff that you can do. I think as foundational for this episode, maybe if we stick with some of the things that like a CRM admin is going to want to know as they're beginning working with this.
Oh, okay.
And just kind of set that so people out there in podcast land know what we're going to cover in this episode. And then mm-hmm. also that way I don't feel like I have to get into everything. I know that like, oh, we can hit it mm-hmm. later.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea because there's so many exciting things. This is what I loved about Mail Merge back in the day. Sad to see it go. Is that not only did I have access to all that the community had to say on mail merge from CRM tricks, but I actually had everything that the Microsoft Word community had to offer. So there's some really, really cool, you know, hacks, if you want to call them that.
Mm-hmm.
And so really fun that we have our whole Excel skill set to play with. So that's something that you have, you know, to draw upon from your experience, and that's great. And then it seems like it's a fairly accessible tool. So if you're an admin that doesn't have a deep Excel experience, there's still mm-hmm. quite a bit you can do. It's a nice balance.
Absolutely. And you can partner with that Excel person that does really know Excel to be able to help you out with some of those things where, you know, you may not have it if you are a pure CRM admin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So getting back on the CRM side of things then, mm-hmm. So security is always something we have to think about here.
Yes.
Now I'm happy to know it's coming out of a view, which intuitively tells me that users are not pulling data I haven't given them access to otherwise. So is this yet another thing where the security model has my back?
So, right? So yes, the security model has your back with one asterisk, a best practice to make sure that you don't cause yourself pain later. So when you create that initial Excel template and you create when you start creating visualizations
mm-hmm.
that are part of that, there are options, especially if you use like pivot tables, pivot charts, anything like that. There are some options that are kind of tucked away, hidden away inside a right-click menu to be able to select whether you store data from that table inside of the model, or if you're going to have that be refreshed automatically when somebody exports the final, you know, template from CRM.
Oh, okay.
So there's a kind of a little gotcha kind of loophole where if you're storing that initial data inside of the Excel template model and you don't have it automatically refresh your visualizations mm-hmm. using that option. And I have a blog that we can link to that kind of shows you where to be able to make that change.
Mm-hmm.
There is the potential of like, oh, somebody could see those initial source records that were in the base model that you were working with when you built it out. So it's not going to like open it up bar none. In fact, when you create the initial export to create a template, it only grabs a small subset of your data. It doesn't try to grab everything from that view. So that is also another consideration, is that you might start putting together visualizations where, you know, you look at your view, you look at a chart associated with that view, and then you look at the same thing in your Excel model, and it doesn't look right. And that's one of the first problems that you can run into there, is like, oh, well, because it didn't export all the data for this starting point for the template.
Oh, interesting.
Now, once you save it, upload it into CRM as a template, and export it with a view, you're only limited by the standard export limits of Excel files from CRM.
Okay, so 10,000 records?
For online, that's been bumped up from there closer to 100,000.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
Awesome. That's a big bump.
But, yeah, so there are still some high-level limits that you want to keep into consideration there if you have those exceptionally large data sets, or, you know, not even exceptionally large in some cases, but, you know, over 100,000, you are going to run into potential problems there. So keep that in mind as an admin of, like, what's the right fit going to be for an Excel template.
Mm-hmm. And once again, I don't think your average salesperson is pulling a report that has 250,000 records in it. That's probably more a Power BI play or something else at that point. At that point, you're doing a much bigger data set, probably outside of what a simple export from CRM is going to cover.
Right, absolutely, absolutely.
So what other security gotchas do you need to watch out for?
So when you start looking at the CRM security model of what people need access to be able to do, this does require export to Excel, which is a permission that you want to make sure. It may seem very basic, but it's worth pointing out. Like, if you don't allow people to export to Excel, they're not going to be able to use an Excel template as part of that, because it uses the innards of export to Excel for what you're doing.
Okay, makes sense.
Additionally, for the system templates that are stored, people need access to templates. It needs to be something that they can see. If they're going to work with their own personal templates or that sort of thing, they need to be able to create, view, modify, whatever, as far as personal templates are permissioned for. So when you look at the user security roles of people who are going to interact with these, they need to have some base level security within the Dynamics security model.
Oh, okay.
And along with that, one thing that is a capability here, as well as with other template types, is to be able to create a personal template by someone, say a power user within a work group, and then have them share it out with other people, using record sharing specifically for the personal template that they'd created. So if you want people to be able to do that, they would need sharing permissions on personal templates as well.
Oh, okay. Something we've tried on the Word template side, which I imagine applies here, is also having it be owned by a team instead of having it be owned by a user. That's the only way to kind of get around that. Because it's usually not, you know, the whole company that needs it.
Right.
But it's some work group, and that's another way to get it done.
Yep. And, you know, as we are talking through this, another one of the gotcha kind of areas is, I don't know how often you're trying to modify an existing personal template. Yeah, it is.
I didn't love it in Word. It was scary to me that I know at some point I'll be confronted with needing the original and not having it.
Yeah, and as a best practice, you're going to want to have those original files so you can upload a fresh version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, trying to update an existing personal template record with a new file, not going to happen so much. Not an easy one. So you end up creating an alternate, you know, additional personal template record, delete the old one.
Okay, so it's really more of a switch. It's really not an update.
Right. Which can be nice if you want people to test out a couple of different versions. Maybe you share one out with one group, one out with another. Mm-hmm. You can do that that A-B type of testing and take the best of what people like in each one. Mm-hmm. But that's more of a we'll call it a feature that yeah. you can work with, trying to put the positive spin on, you know, something that can be a little bit of a drag in trying to make what seems like a simple update. It does take a little extra work.
So something that I think we've got to touch on here, we've got our classic configuration scenario where we've got test environments, we've got a dev environment, UAT, moving mm-hmm. things with solutions. The wheels kind of fall off here.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. So these templates are not solution aware at this point in time. So as you are working with an Excel template, and I believe it's the same for Word templates, I think you've worked with those more than me, but you don't have the luxury of being able to move them from environment to environment to environment using that solution awareness that you would want as a Dynamics administrator. So it is more of a step to make sure that you've included in your deployment scenarios or testing scenarios of going back to that actual file and once mm-hmm. again making sure you have the file to be able to upload.
I was pleasantly surprised. I was at first frustrated that I had to create this in 5 environments to move it through my deployment. But then I was pleasantly surprised that it was reasonably easy to do. I mean, once you have to remember that manual step because it's not solution aware, you factor in, you know, just uploading that thing you've already created. I wasn't starting with a blank Word document 5 times. Mm-hmm. I was really taking, because I have all the same fields, I've got all the same relationships, my solution is moving, so my environments are consistent. And so it's not terrible. I mean, it's not as great as having it in the solution, but it wasn't as bad as maybe the mini hissy fit that I threw about it would lead you to have believed. it was okay.
Right on. So maybe I'm making a big deal out of something that's not as big of a deal.
I think it's a manual step to be aware of.
Yeah.
And that's something that we're seeing a little bit more. I think you should always be asking that question when you're looking at a new feature. Is it solution aware? Mm-hmm. Just to be making your own list, because we're getting some areas where things are not, we're not moving pieces from environment to environment via solutions anymore. Learning Paths is another example. Different way that you move it. You can move it and deploy to different environments, but once again, not solution aware either.
Right.
And so we're starting to see that pop up. And so I think it's really important in all things you're developing, or not developing, but you're, you know, configuring in Dynamics, just being aware of what's going to move from your test environment on up the food chain and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
So you can plan accordingly.
Yeah.
And then it's just the checklist, and it's just being diligent, and it's really not that big of a deal as long as you know that you have to do it.
Yeah. Well, I think, so I'm so tempted to dive into all of these other things that are kind of more on the Excel side, but as we talked about, that is a
I don't maybe trust us to turn this into a 2-hour episode if we get into Excel right now,
exactly,
Matt.
So I will cut myself off there, but I will add one additional thing from an admin perspective as we're looking at this. One thing you want to keep in mind is that when a user is going to run an Excel template, the first sheet that they see when they run that Excel template is whichever sheet you had saved as active when you last saved the source file that you were working on. So if you are working with multiple sheets inside of an Excel template, make sure that the last thing you do after you've been tweaking it is to choose the what you want the front page to be mm-hmm. when somebody runs it. Make that the active sheet, then save it, then do your upload. That's how you're going to get that control over what they will see when they first run the report.
Interesting. Huh. Really good tip.
So with that, shifting gears a little bit, I do just want to say thank you again so much to everybody who has been listening to us in the podcast and supporting us and reaching out through the website, social media, just interacting with us. It is, we're not doing this for us, though it is a lot of fun, if I may say so,
yep.
But the fact that we can hear from you out there, and I want to make sure that we include another call to action for you of go hit the website implementthis.org. We have a place there for you to be able to submit your questions directly to us. That's going to come in. We have an email address, which is feedback@implementthis.org. And we are on social media. The plugs will be at the end of the podcast anyway, but the more that we can focus it on the things that you want to know, and you know, we'll certainly be happy to tell you when it overlaps with a particular passion area of ours. But please keep that coming. We want to hear from you. We want to keep this relevant for you.
Absolutely.
All right. Maybe a good place to sign off.
Yep. I think if we don't stop now, we're just going to get really in the weeds on Excel. So.
Yeah, and nobody wants to listen to that. So I think this is the appropriate time to be able to sign off. So until next time, have a good one, Britta.
Thanks, you too, Matt.
You've been listening to Implement This with Britta Rexted and Matthew C. Anderson. Do you have a business problem you'd like us to discuss on the show? Reach us through our website, implementthis.org, where you can also subscribe to the podcast. We're on Twitter, too. Britta is @MacGyverCRM. And I'm @MC Anderson. Thanks so much for listening.